ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Sunny, Las Vegas, Hollywood, Chupuni.
What's up, everybody? A friend of mine supposedly was stealing some Milky Ways, so I stole some Kit Kats today, but I will share with them. I will share them all.
I'm so confused by that comment.
You don't know about the guy that tried to steal 50 Milky Ways or whatever?
No! Where was this?
Dude, you got to read your text.
No, he read it. He just still doesn't understand what you're talking about, Pony. You got to be a little more specific for Joe.
Aww.
His name starts with A and ends in C. E.
I don't know, but okay, I'll have to go back to. I'm sad. My brain is still trying to wrap itself around how awesome the Atlanta Falcons look today.
Stop right there.
Are we going to introduce Joey?
We are not. I don't want to be introduced. I just want to make sure I have to have my comments off now because Joe had to do that stupid intro. I'm telling you now, don't mention football to me right now. I'm DVRing everything. I'm watching it tonight in peace. Shut up.
Okay. Everybody that's watching right now, nobody put the score.
No, they can because I'm not putting comments on it.
Here come the scores. 58-3.
Joe, if you post one of those stupid comments on the bottom, Joe, I'm telling you, there will be major repercussions.
You're so far away from me.
I will get you. I will hop in a car right now. In about 14 hours, I will kick your fucking ass.
I'm not going to do anything like that. I would consider it terrible and mean. That right there, the guy threatening me live, and that I have witnesses now. Like all of you watching.
If Joe disappears, it wasn't me.
That's Joey Quesada.
Hello.
Listen, I want to let everybody know, if you go to Click T Shop, I want to get this out of the way now. Go to Click T Shop, type in Podcast Rock City, and you could get our T-shirts are there now. And you could get, like, the masks and, I don't know, wristbands and koozies and I don't know.
I have none of this stuff. Do we really have this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I have some. I had to buy it. And it's up there.
You know what else I don't have, Joe?
Your cards.
My damn cards, Joe.
Because you don't show up to anywhere.
Where do they show up?
So here's what I can tell you. Everybody, I mailed out all the cards this week. Except the ones that have to go out of the country. I'm not joking. I have to figure out how to make this work because that little damn pack of cards, this big, per envelope to go to like Canada, one was England, Canada, $22.
No, media mail, Joe. Media mail.
Is it media mail though?
Yeah, it's media. It's like a magazine. It's cards. It's media mail.
All right. Okay, good. I'll bring that up. Thank you. I don't know what I'm doing, man. I'm just trying to make everybody happy.
Well, I'm not happy.
All right. I promise. I still have, from April, I still have the little Yoda thing for you.
Oh, I'll take that.
You would think that Kiss Online sending him all this stuff. Because he doesn't have any of it yet. Get it?
Or Vinny Vincent. Yeah. You're like the new Vinny Vincent, Joe.
Oh, no. Don't ever say that.
I bought my box set 2 years ago, and I still don't have it. Speaking of which, where are my cards?
The cards are in the mail.
I do have.
Okay. So, look, there's some news. We're going to talk about it, and it's important news. So let's get to it.
Podcast Rock City News.
So, a couple of things happened this week, and actually, I want to say the first one that happened last week. The Cruise Fest that was going to be in Miami has been canceled. And basically, from what I read, the reason why is because before we get on the boat, they're going to be testing us. And if you test positive for COVID, nobody in your you can't get on the boat, and nobody in your cabin can get on the boat. So basically, the guys that are running that went, we don't want to be responsible for getting anybody COVID at our thing. We'll feel terrible. So they went ahead and canceled it. I think it was a good idea. You know, I'm sad because it's great to see our friends, you know, a couple days early, and we get to break bread and have drinks and hang out. But this, it's probably a smart thing. Sonny?
Yeah, it's the right thing to do, especially since we don't know what the rules are going to be in 2 months, right? The rules keep changing.
Won't they?
Folks will still hang out. Like, I'm still going early. I'm going to hang out with whoever goes early, right? But it won't be hanging out with 200 people in one room, right? We'll be at the bar spread out or whatever, and it's fine. You know, reality is you catch this shit anywhere, you know, but they're doing the right thing. They are.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing is that they don't have to worry that they were the reason why somebody didn't, you know, because Joe D'Angelo is a amazing dude, and he's a stand-up guy, and, you know, he didn't want that on his conscience. You know, Joe missed the thing because I threw this party that was, you know, intriguing, and everybody wanted to go, and, you know, now he doesn't get to go on his vacation. So that's, you know, something that happened. The other thing that happened, which is pretty interesting, is Kiss is back playing shows. I haven't seen any video, but I hear that Paul and Gene are sitting for the whole show because they're exhausted.
That's coming soon, I think. You're right.
I saw some video. It was okay. I mean, it was just like everything else, really. It's weird seeing Tommy play that V, though. That part's a little weird. But anyway, it seemed fine. I had an opportunity to go to the concert here on Friday. I went to my kids' football game instead. I was like, seen him enough times.
What a good
times.
Daddy.
Yeah.
Have we heard anything? So obviously, I forget when the last show was. I know we were off, but have we been on since Gene got COVID as well?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So obviously, for the people out there, Paul got COVID first, then Gene got COVID. So all these shows have been postponed and rescheduled. Has anyone heard anyone else? And I'm assuming they have, but anyone else in the camp get COVID? Well, like crew and anyone else?
They haven't said, but I would imagine that they could say, you know, two members tested positive. They can't say names.
Right.
Yeah, but even if somebody on the road crew tests positive, as long as the band members test negative, they're going to still do the show,
I'm
right?
I'm just curious to see what their bubble's like, to see, you know, if Gene and Paul got it. You know, was it from somewhere else? And if that's the case, you know, how many other people, how much did it spread in the camp? Because that's the stuff that always worries me with these big tours and me on the road and stuff. When one person gets it, obviously they don't know they have it right away. Paul said it himself. He was testing negative for a while. So he's obviously mingling with the crew and he's in catering and he's doing this and he's doing that. That's the problem. It spreads like wildfire because you don't know you have it. Once you know you have it, of course you're going to quarantine, but that's the problem.
Yeah, the other interesting thing is they canceled Boise show on the 21st, which is 9 days from now. So what's interesting is I'm assuming that's because of ticket sales, because it can't be anything else. How are you going to know what's going to happen 9 days from now?
Right. Huh. A lot of people were saying they thought it was because of ticket sales.
Could it have something to do with one of the rescheduled dates? Maybe they reschedule a date during that time and then they're going to move Boise?
I don't know.
Or it could be a routing issue too. Sometimes, you know, when you're doing tours, it could be a routing issue. Are they on a different route now because of these rescheduled shows? And then Boise is too far out of the way or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that they rebooked Atlanta for October 10th. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully I'll get to go because so far I'm 0-2. But you guys
I thought that comment was pretty good, though. It said, I was in Mountain View. Everything was great. Tons of energy. Big crowd. Pre-show acoustic. They did three songs. Plastercaster coming home and shocked me. So that's good, right?
Acoustic shock me? No. I'm just saying.
Some other news today. I don't know if you guys knew this. So it actually happened in my town. I unfortunately, I was unable to go, but There's something called the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame. Have you guys heard of
it? Yeah, I was just about to say that, but go ahead. Go ahead.
So the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame, which is the alternative to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who snubs everybody, is actually inducting, you know, a big part of the Kiss family today. They're inducting Eric Carr, Bruce Kulick, Bill Aucoin, and Doc McGee. So it actually, the live event happened right in my town today. It was really a live stream, and then there was a couple of small little live things happening. That's why I never made my way over there. But the live stream, I forget where to see it, but if you type in Heavy Metal Hall of Fame, the full live stream is available right now. I think it aired live at 2 p.m. Lots of great performances from years past. And, you know, people I think Charlie Benante inducted Eric Carr. I think Paul Stanley inducted Doc, possibly. I think Bill Aucoin's partner inducted him. And I forget who inducted Bruce. Do you know, Joe?
I'm looking it up, but I don't
see. I think Eric Singer inducted Bruce, possibly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, these people should be in the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame. And in all honesty, Bill Aucoin should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If 100%. You think about, he changed rock and roll forever almost single-handedly just by looking at a band and going, this is the things that we could do with these guys, you know, and not to take anything away from Alice Cooper, because Alice Cooper changed rock and roll too in the same way Kiss did, but Kiss just dropped a nuke on it, you know.
Without Bill Aucoin, I don't care what anyone says, there's no Kiss. Kiss is not here today. We're not doing this show. There's no Kiss without Bill Aucoin's vision, his money, his credit card, everything that he did for Kiss. Kiss would probably have been a local band for a couple of years and completely bombed.
Yeah, they would have been the New York Dolls, just like we talk about the New York Dolls or one of those bands that released an album or two,
yeah.
And I'm sure the Dolls probably released more than that, but I don't know it because of that.
Agreed.
Oh my goodness. Poor Chris Barnes.
I don't care what he said, especially if it has the word Giants in it. My comments
are not. He's a Falcon fan.
Nobody cares about that bum, Chris.
Oh, that's terrible. So they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now. It's really great that Bruce Kulick got put in there. I think that that's wonderful. You know, the fact that he was snubbed for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is bullshit. Same for Eric Carr.
Agreed.
You know, when you got literally, I looked it up today, 643,000 members of the Grateful Dead have now been put in to the thing. Every member of the Traveling Wilburys.
E Street Band, same thing, right?
E Street Band, yeah. You know, where most members, you know, I know three members of that band. And I'm sure, you know, you being from, you know, and you're around Jersey, so I know you probably know more, but.
Hypothetically, what do you think? So obviously Kiss was trying to get in for years. They were being snubbed and then they finally were getting in, right? So obviously Bruce Springsteen holds a lot more cards than Kiss for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So when Bruce Springsteen gets inducted, he probably goes, listen, my whole E Street Band is coming with me. Or guess what? Go screw yourself. I'm not coming. Now, do you think Kiss had any leg to stand on? Or obviously, I know they didn't do it. But do you think if they would have said, hey, listen, yes, it's the original four, but we're going to pick some other members that are coming in along with us. Do you think the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would have said, okay?
No, they hate Kiss. They didn't induct Kiss. The fans did. Now, do I think that it's possible that if Kiss would have said, we want to play, we will play, but every member that's here has got to be put in? And every member gets to get on stage with us, then it makes sense for them all to play. Then it makes sense for that to happen. Otherwise, all they wanted was Ace, Gene, Peter, and Paul. You know, that's all they wanted.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think the theory comes in. I think Joe's on to something, because that's my theory too.
And ladies and gentlemen, those words have never been uttered by Sonny Cooney on this show.
Ever.
Not one time go. I'm sorry. Not to screw that all up now, but
I think it probably somewhere in the conversation, it happens. Look, the four of you got to play. Otherwise, those other guys ain't getting inducted.
Do you think
we're not playing?
Do you think that was said?
I think so. I think absolutely so. I think there's a leverage play there. That guys, we're already out there saying you're going to be in. All right, you're in. But those other guys ain't getting in unless the four of you play.
Wow.
Well, we're not playing with those two. We'll play, but we're not playing with those two. Well, then those guys aren't getting in. They're not even invited. So do what you want.
Wow. Yeah, it's just a shame. Listen, I'm curious. Anyone listening, obviously my comments are off. Anyone listening watch that Heavy Metal Hall of Fame today? Anyone see any of it?
There's some folks went. Somebody just said they just came back from it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Who was it? It was literally 3 minutes from my house.
Bobby Dreher.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's he has a show on Monco Community College Radio where music and minds
meet. Where Pony and minds meet.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so
Bobby, how was it? How was the ceremony? Because again,
I'm afraid to put any comments on the thing because I always just like look at, read it, scan it. I'm going to put
them
it
in first show. Read them first.
I'm so afraid.
You know what? So no comments today. That would make me happy.
So Jared just said he ordered the new issues of Out of Control and Let Me Rock You. Joe, are you getting them? Jared, I'll say first, unless there's better songs on those two albums, I wouldn't even order them if I were you. Joe's only getting them if somebody sent it to him. That's the only way he's getting those two. Is that right, Joe?
No, there's no way I could get those. but Jared, I did mail your cards. Hey, but what about this? How come I'm not in the fame? I want to be in the Hall of Fame. How come I can't get in the Rock and Roll or Heavy Metal Hall of Fame?
All you got to do is send everybody their box set. Actually, two, since you promised them. Or give me my money back, and then you can go to the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah. All right, so... there's a lot happening in the news. Kiss is back out on the road. I'm very excited. Hopefully I don't get sick before, like, you know, my show. It's going to happen. I mean, for real.
What's going to happen?
I'm going to wind up getting sick.
Shut your mouth. Stop it.
I'm going to miss the stupid shoot. Okay, I'm sorry.
I would love you. I would love you like stuck in traffic and the show's happening. That would be fun.
Now, in case you're wondering, it's the same show you saw 5 years ago. It's the same show you saw 7 years ago.
Okay,
it's
so
the same show you saw 11 years ago. It's the same show you saw 17 years ago.
Okay, but always remember this. I could rewatch any TV show, okay? Any TV show. If they rerun a TV show, right, the commercials are different. So while I'm there, I can look around and change what I saw the last time.
But what if, like, what's a TV show you like to watch more than once, Joe? Give me an example.
Okay, so here's the truth. I watch four shows all week. I do not watch anything else.
All right, give me one of them. What's one of them?
Big Bang Theory.
All right, so let's say you know, obviously you've seen a lot of the Big Bang Theory
every
episodes.
One of them, 10 times each.
Let's say every year the Big Bang Theory replays the episode, but they slightly slow it down, and all the main character's voice is slightly going off. You know, it's harder to listen to, and the drummer has, and one of the other characters has no emphasis in anything they're playing. Is it the same show?
Okay, let me ask you.
Would you
this
keep
question.
Watching the reruns?
I got one better. What if season 10, episode 9, just repeats over and over and over and over and over?
Okay,
that's really what we're getting.
Does season 10, episode 9, have Kaylee Cuoco in a wife beater with no bra on?
No.
Oh.
It has Paul Stanley with no bra on.
yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying. But still, you have to think about the fact that the last time I saw them was the last show of the first leg of the tour in Birmingham, right?
Which is the same show.
It's so long ago, I forgot. Why are you
Listen,
guys
I'm not saying
just watch, you know, watch.
Everyone should go see them. They're still Kiss. Blah. I get it. The show is still spectacular. If they come around again, I'll probably grab my kids to go see them. But it's just not something that I care about anymore. When I go, when I, last time I saw Kiss, Joe, the day I was with you, Madison Square Garden, what was it, 2019?
19, I think, yeah.
I left before the encores.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have went Friday if Nicole wanted to go or if one of the kids wanted to go. There's no way I'm going by myself. There's no reason for me.
I would even go
to drive hour and a half each way.
Yeah, even if like a buddy calls me, I've never seen Kiss, you got to take me. I said, dude, let's do it right now. I want to experience it with someone else. For me, it's like, nah.
No, I get it. All right, so enough of picking on me. I'm just kidding. let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
So this week, besides all that news, I wanted to come up with a topic, something fun that I don't think that we've ever done before, and that would be to pick our top three records that Kiss, we think, Kiss should be remembered for. And, I mean, it's tough. I have to tell you, I was laying there watching the Falcons just get destroyed. And I was thinking, why am I doing this to myself? It's like being a Giants fan. And I'm just trying to.
Mark Vivaro just caught a pass.
Joe.
I'm just right. Play.
Here's the deal. We're changing the day. We're not doing Sundays anymore.
Let me ask you this question, though. And this is in seriousness. When you're watching it on a replay, do you get as excited?
I don't know. Yes, if I don't know the score, that's the point. I have to not know what happened at all.
Oh, okay.
And then I press play. It's quiet. It's the middle of the night. Usually when I do all my best work, and I enjoy the game. No fast forwarding. You know, not just I enjoy it like it's live.
Okay. Listen, I want you to know that I love you so much. There's no comments today. I'm not looking at any of that. I don't want to ruin your day.
That's not why, Joe. You know you don't trust yourself to filter the comments correctly. That's what it is.
The problem is I can't read.
It just shows you everyone that's commenting. Joe just posts random comments. He doesn't know what he's reading.
No, if I'm wearing my glasses on the show, you know I read your comment. Okay.
You've never worn your glasses on the show.
Never wear glasses on the show. It doesn't matter. Everybody's comment matter. All right. Top three records Kiss should be remembered for. I'll go first. Okay, all records are in play. All records. Okay, and we'll discuss it.
3, 2, 1?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Lick It Up for number 3. Reason being, for me, it's too important. It showed the world that the band did not need the makeup to put out good music and to get people interested in coming to see them. One of the things is once the makeup came off, they still had to go play live. And even though they're on stage and they're not wearing the makeup, they still had, and they didn't have the big show like they had, you know, when they wore the makeup. So they really had to take that record. It had to be good, and the tour had to be impressive. And I think that all of that was true. Agree or disagree?
Agree parts of it.
Okay.
I don't know if the show needed to be massive and all that. I'll tell you, my number three was also Lick It Up. But for me, it was they introduced to an entire decade a new fan base who they were without the makeup. So you hear it all the time. 70s Kiss, 80s Kiss. So that means there's two different Kisses. That's just all there is to it, without having to change the two main members, basically, right? Where you hear, you know, Bon Scott and Brian Johnson kind of AC/DC or a bunch of other bands that have kind of the same thing. If it's not for Lick It Up and them coming back and doing well, unmasking on MTV, etc., I never get into Kiss. And there's a bunch of me's, right? So you just, those folks that are in that, maybe late 40 range right now that didn't get into Kiss in 78, 79, if there's no Lick It Up, we probably don't like Kiss.
Okay, so one thing that Jared said here is that they literally had the exact same show for Lick It Up and Creatures. That is a good point I forgot about. Only no costumes, no makeup, no blood spitting, but still. And, of course, the music is going to change a little bit. But it was the tank, right? And Eric was on the tank. So that's a good point. Joey?
So again, I think of things differently than you guys, I guess. The time frame of Lick It Up, yes, I agree that whole era is important because you turn the page and you turn a corner and it becomes a different Kiss. But give me the topic again, Joe. What's the exact wording of today's?
Top three records Kiss should be remembered for.
Kiss should be remembered for. So Lick It Up is not a record Kiss will ever be remembered for or should be remembered for. Don't get me wrong, I love Lick It Up. I think it's fabulous. But I don't think anyone remembers Lick It Up at all for anything.
Yeah, I was looking more at time frame, right? So my three, I won't tell you my other two yet, but I kind of picked something at the beginning. I kind of picked one in the heat of the battle when they were the biggest band on the planet. And then I picked something that time-wise introduces them to a new set of fans, right? So when the story is finally written, and it was kind of in the documentary too, right? That there's these stages that they went through. And I guess what album you label that time frame with probably will be different for everybody. But that's kind of how I was thinking about it.
Got ya. Yeah. Joey, what would be your third?
So again, you know, my mind is racing because my original frame of mind when I heard this question is, it's almost an easy question because it's got to be one of the three of the classic records. That's what Kiss is going to be remembered for. That's what everyone thinks of when they think of Kiss. So, you know, I'm going to change up my thought process a little bit, and I'll go with number three. I'm going to go with Kiss Unplugged. And, wow. You know, that's because, you know, I'll change it up just because of the way you guys started. I think Kiss Unplugged is very important to show a fan base that doesn't necessarily know Kiss and they think of Kiss for bombs and explosions and makeup. Kiss Unplugged, I think, is a very surprising record for people to just hear Kiss play these amazing songs stripped down and say, wow, not only can these guys really play their instruments, but these are really great singable songs on acoustic guitars sitting on stools, and they don't need all of that other stuff.
No, I agree. So like if you like 100 years from now, you think that the one of the records that Kiss should, like, if you walk into a music store and they put the top three records that Kiss should have be remembered by, Unplugged is number three.
No, again, when you say the title like that, no, I don't think so. But the way you guys are starting this topic, my three picks would be all classic, the top first six records, or, you know, with the two alive records, whatever. But those are the records that everyone will remember Kiss by. I'm convinced of that. No one will remember anything past Dynasty.
Wow. Okay, but yes, yeah, it still should, right?
They should. You're right. That's the word that I kind of changed my picks for. So okay. I think they should listen to this record and hear Kiss for what they are stripped down.
All right. Sonny, you tell us your number two since I stole your number three.
Yeah, my number two is at the center of them being the biggest band in the world, and that's Love Gun, right? It's the costumes that most people like the most overall. You see them everywhere. I get it. A lot of people are going to pick Destroyer. I just can't do that. Love Gun, to me, has better songs than Destroyer. So that's just my personal taste. But by the time Love Gun comes, like, they are at Destroyer, they're still kind of gaining ground. They are at the peak at Love Gun. That's why I picked it as number two.
Joey, what do you think?
Yeah, for my number two, I'm going to go almost the same comments as Sonny. I'm going to go Kiss Alive too. They are at their absolute pinnacle at this point. They're not climbing the ladder anymore. They've achieved the greatest band in the world status. And that's my favorite record of all time, Kiss Alive 2, whether it's Kiss or any other band. That, to me, summarizes who Kiss is the most. Because, again, as great as Kiss Alive 1 is, Kiss Alive 2, to me, is them as not necessarily Super Kiss, but they're at the pinnacle of their success. And that's what I think of when second I hear the word Kiss, I think of a Kiss Alive 2.
Okay. My number two is Rock and Roll Over. I love Love Gun, just like Sonny was saying. But when I think about how, like, that song is what it sounds to me like I always wished Destroyer did. It's that raw rock sound again. That's not all. It's polished in the studio, but not so much. You know, when you listen to Destroyer, you really hear a polished product.
Yeah.
And the right guy is doing the producing.
Agreed.
He should have done every Kiss record. we're really getting a kind of a wide array. Obviously, Alive 2, though, is so iconic. You know, it's something that the cover they're remembered for, and of course it's because of Gene, you know, but the cover they're remembered for, let alone the music on the inside. I mean that right there, you know, you have so many people that are like, I had no idea who Kiss was. I saw this record cover, I saw Gene, and I was blown away. And, you know, but when you put the record on, as adults, we know it's not so real. You know what I mean? But as kids, different story.
Yeah, it's so interesting because when you see all this history, you read it, you watch the videos, the Kissologies, whatever. The beginning of 77 and the end of 77, you got two different bands. Like the beginning of 77, it still feels like they're a little bit hungry and they just got everything they earned kind of thing. And by the end of 77, you can see the cracks. It was pretty quick, feels like.
Isn't that amazing?
That's what came with money and fame, right? The money and fame kind of wasn't there yet before that. So money and fame happened and we saw what it did to them.
Yeah.
All of them, all four of them.
Sure, all four of them. It's true. They're, you know, one of the things that was cool about the documentary was, I don't know so much about Paul, but Gene seemed to be taking responsibility for his fourth of things. Yes?
Absolutely. I loved Gene saying that in the doc. I loved him to take, whether he took enough of the blame is one thing, but he at least said that he was to blame for all that stuff too. It wasn't just Ace and Peter. He was saying all of his demons that he had at that point. And you know, he didn't even have, he never has to say, because we saw it all. And, you know, if Paul never says it or never will say it, we know what Paul was going through at that point too. We see everything that the four of them went through and kind of each one of them splitting Kiss up in their own way.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a lot of stuff in a short amount of time, right? So they go from Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over in the same year doing two tours. Then they go Love Gun, Alive 2, same year, two tours. So they basically were on four separate legs from the beginning of 96 to the end of, or 76 to the end of 77.
Crazy.
If they take a break after Love Gun, maybe you don't see the cracks so fast. Right, I can imagine being Ace going, really, we're going to go out on tour again?
Right.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, I've never been in a situation where I've had any chance at fame or money like that or anything like that. But, you know, what do they say? Strike while the iron's hot. And the iron was glowing white, you know. So it's – and if you think about who could compete with that band – in 76, 75, 76, 77. It's like very few bands could compete with them, right? Your Aerosmith, right?
Yeah, but for all the credit that a Coin and Delaney and all these guys get, and I'm not saying they don't deserve the credit. I'm just saying these decisions feel short-sighted. Somebody had to step back and go, all right, guys, this is too much, too fast. Like, back this off a little bit because this does not have long-time staying power. Even long-distance runners, they don't sprint the entire time. Like, it just doesn't work out that way. It's not long-term success. So it feels a little short-sighted. Maybe because a Coin's at his credit limit, and it's like, dude, we got to make whatever money we can make on this because look at this thing we're doing. Look at this stupid gimmick that's making money right now. I don't know how long this is going to last. Maybe that's what they were looking at. I don't know. But it just feels like, yeah, striking while the iron's hot makes sense to me. But, man, that's a lot in 2 years.
But I've never – I agree, Sonny, but I don't think I've ever actually heard an interview where one of the four, even Ace and Peter, really ever said that, hey – God, we just needed a break then. We just needed a... I don't remember ever hearing them say that, right?
No, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a problem.
Sure.
Maybe they didn't realize it, right?
Yeah. Right.
I know that I've read that about Ace for the reunion. It was supposed to be this, and this, and the off days started filling up. And I think that in the Second Coming, he mentions it. And I think that when he mentions it, it's his way of saying... get this on the record, you know, all my off days are getting full.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's a weird situation for sure. You know, there is something about when you're hot, you do got to make the money you can make.
Yeah.
Like, but you can't expect to stick it around forever then, because that's a lot of stuff everybody's going through.
No, it's true. All right. So my number one is Alive. I think that that right there is the, it is the, what did they say when they originally put it out? It was that they wanted a souvenir for the fan to remember what it was like to be at a Kiss show. And I think that, you know, maybe not 100 years from now, but 30 years from now, 40 years from now, I think there'll still be people that, just like they listened to Beatles and they weren't around for the Beatles, they'll go, oh, there used to be this band Kiss and this was the thing they did. You should listen to this record. Just like they would do with most Beatles records, you know? So Alive, I think, is the number one thing that they should be remembered for. It doesn't necessarily let you hear all the great music from the first three records, but it's still such a spectacular record. Yes or no, Sonny?
I struggled with number one because I was going back and forth between two records.
You gotta squeeze it a little less hard and you don't have any problems.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. So I was going back and forth between the two records. And then I finally settled on, I'm like, all right, if somebody was to ask me, I've never seen Kiss, show me one picture, I would show them Dressed to Kill.
Wow.
Versus Alive, right?
Wow.
There's something about Dressed to Kill that feels raw. It feels real. It's not as slow as the first two records. They're quick songs, Rock and Roll Nights on it. Right. So you're winner there. And is there an Alive if you don't have the songs off of Dressed to Kill and somebody thinks, guys, I think we got something. We're just not capturing what we are live. Right. If that album is shit, are they done?
No. That's
so when it comes
down
to it, them in suits is the funnest picture to show people. So I think I'm going to go with Dressed to Kill.
I do agree that Dressed to Kill is the most underrated Kiss record. I really do. Well, Unmasked is really underrated too, but I think, you know, in those early years, everyone lumps Dressed to Kill in with the first two records as far as quality and production and slowness. Dressed to Kill not only sonically sounds incredible, but feel-wise, they're now playing faster. Everything is gelling. Dressed to Kill is an absolutely great record. It really is.
No, it is, except for that one song. If we could just get rid of that one song Everything would be great. I would replace it with... see? So, wow, that was really mean. So the score of the... Wow. So the rules are now, Joey hits Joe in the balls. Joe is not allowed. I'm just kidding, of course.
That's true, by the way.
All right, Sonny, what's your number one?
I just told you.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Dressed to Kill. Joey.
Yeah, my number one is with you, Joe. It's got to be Kiss Alive. It's as much as I still like Alive 2 better, Kiss Alive is, you know, it's what people know Kiss for. It's Kiss at its best. It's, you know, all those songs off those first three records sound amazing. And the way you said it, too, it's a souvenir of their live show. Kiss will forever be remembered way more for their live show than any album we mentioned already. So Kiss, you know, fans out there, the 30, 40, 50 years from now, are going to remember Kiss for their live show. And what better captures their live show than Kiss Alive?
Yeah, 100%. I remember I was sitting at work one day and this guy came in and he was on the phone and he goes, yeah, I watched this special last night. You're never going to believe it. That it's not a live record. And I was like, what is he talking about? I did not see that documentary on VH1 about Kiss Alive. And he's talking and talking and he finally hangs up and I'm like, what were you talking about? And he said, no, they came out and admitted Kiss Alive isn't live. It's somewhat live, but the fans are dubbed in and the explosions are dubbed in. I was just
Now wait. So again, I know this is a common thing that we always talk about and people always talk about. The way you're saying it is not true. Kiss Alive and Alive 2 are absolutely live records. They are Kiss Live. They're right. Kiss from those shows with overdubs added in to enhance the record and or fix any major issues.
Okay.
So when people think, oh, it wasn't a live, can you believe that's not a live record? It's not them in a studio recreating these songs and then dumping live crowd over it. It's live and then they're fixing anything that they need to fix. I believe almost all of Peter's drums are completely live in all of those records. And I would bet over 80% of the instrumentation is live as well, with minor fixes if there's a bum note, if there's a solo that's completely out. So don't think it's not a live record for those people who are not really sure how the recording industry works. It's live.
Okay, you're right. You're right about that.
The recording has to live forever. It can't be shit.
Yeah, you don't want...
It like, can't be a solo missing in the middle of, you know, Love Gun.
You don't want to hear a bum bass note on some run that Gene's doing every time for the next 50 years. They fixed it. It's okay. And enhancing the crowd, because I don't know if anyone's ever tried to record a concert when there's an explosion. You can't record that explosion. It overloads the microphone. You can't do it. So you have to fix it.
Right. You're right. Maybe he was talking about how the crowd is enhanced and, you know, that kind of thing.
No, Joe, you said it right, because when that VH1 thing came out, people were losing their minds. Oh my God, the wool has been pulled over our eyes for so many years and how could they do this to us? They didn't do anything to us. They do the same thing as everyone does. Nobody releases a completely live record. You know what's a completely live record? The Kiss Instant Lives that were recorded in 2004. Those are live, fully live records. Bootlegs are live records. No one's releasing a completely live record without any overdubs. Nobody.
Right. Just out of curiosity, how hard would it be for a drummer to go in and play the drums in a live, you know, where the timing can go like this? And
well, nowadays Kiss is on a click track, so they could do it easily. Eric Singer plays everything to a click, but back then it's hard because, you know, you got to understand, back then there's no Pro Tools. There's no just punching someone in and playing along with it. And then you can completely overdub it. It would have been almost impossible back then. You know, you can overdub a snare, you can overdub a crash, you can fix stuff, but to try to redo half of a take or something is next to impossible.
And there's Van Halen stories about that. Right here, right now, I guess they're ready to release it. Eddie's listening back. He had part of his guitar out of tune. So he goes and fixes it. Well, now Sammy's out of key.
Of course.
So Sammy had to come in and do the vocal track. And Sammy's like, why am I in the studio doing a live vocal track? Well, Eddie had to fix his out of tune guitar. Are you kidding me? I got to do this again?
Yeah. It's just stuff that happens. You can't not have fixed little things that go wrong. Why would you want to release a subpar product? Again, people are thinking when they hear a record too, oh my God, my band sounds so amazing. There's overdubs on the record everywhere. There's a gazillion overdubs, especially on Destroyer. Does that mean it's not Kiss really playing? Of course it's Kiss really playing. Just because you're tracking stuff and layering things, it doesn't mean it's not the band. It's not the band fully live.
Right. Well, that makes sense. And now we've got Joey here to explain it to us.
Because... Oh, you know, you're a musician. You know.
Yeah,
this stuff.
Yeah. But I'm not thinking live. Like when I go into the studio to record a song, you know, you can punch in certain spots, but I wasn't thinking about live. Like that's got to be way more difficult, and everything. You know, everybody clicks into a system when you're on stage, you know? And so anything wrong that you fix, just like Sonny said, it's going to change the dynamic of everything.
Well, that almost goes to more of what I'm saying. That's why most of the stuff is not fixed, because you're right. You can't recreate that vibe. There are little things that are fixed. It's a bass note. It's a Paul rap where he goes, maybe he does that. Well, he'll just redo the rap, or a scream where he needs to put a layer on that scream so he can cover the bum note. It's just texture stuff. There's no big giant parts of any of those live records that are overdubbed.
Dang.
Yeah, and for a fan, like when I listened to Live After Death, right? Maiden, my first live album. It can't sound like shit. Like, I just can't, because I'll never go see Maiden again if that's the case, right? It has to live forever. I appreciate the happenstance mistakes that happen. So Live Plus One, when Ace is doing that solo, doing Rip It Out, right in the middle of his solo, it's like I look forward to that part because now it's there forever, and it kind of sounds cool, and I'm sure he could have took it out if he wanted to, but he just left it there.
Right.
You know, there's a fine line between having organic mistakes and having a train wreck, but also not having like robots play. Unfortunately, that's my problem with Kiss right now. They're almost too perfect. Tommy and Eric are so regimented. I always attribute everything to wrestling, right? Joe, you can appreciate this. When you watch WWE wrestling right now, there's no chance anyone goes off script or does something spontaneous, because you know it's so regimented back in the backstage that you're not sitting watching TV on the edge of your seat. When I go to a live concert, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for fun things to happen. Kiss now, right now, it's like seeing a movie over and over again. There's no mistakes. There's no nothing. It's too perfect.
Well, I don't think you could put it better than that. I'm still going to go on October 10th and watch that same episode of Kiss Live.
I'll tell you, it sometimes goes too far the other way. Hall & Oates, one of my favorites. Daryl Hall has never sang the same melody twice in his whole life.
That's too much.
So I've seen him live probably 30 times, and I've heard I can't go for that 30 different ways. So you're trying to sing along with them live and you can't do it.
Yeah, that's no good either.
Daryl Hall, most people don't know, has an illegitimate son with the manager for Joey's band.
Yes, if anyone's, Joe is just talking about this off the air. If anyone's ever seen that episode of Z-Rock with Daryl Hall and Paulie from my band thinking that he's his dad, It's quite extraordinary. Some of the lines that we actually got Daryl Hall to say on television are really, I remember the writer coming up to me, he goes, look, these are the five lines that I have to have Daryl say. And here are the alternate lines, because there's no way he's saying these. He went over to Daryl's like, yeah, I'll do those lines. And he was like, really? You'll say, something about aborted feet. It was a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah, it was bad. It was like, wow. Anyway, if you guys have not listened, I hate plugging Joey stuff, especially since just now he told me that Pauly Z, I didn't even get to that part in the show yet, but that's okay. But this is like, all right.
He ruined the book. By the way, the score is.
Anything for my baby.
I would steal. I sang that live in Vegas. I'm a king. All right. So, all right. So listen, I know you guys have been posting comments and I really appreciate them. Sonny's been looking at them and they've been pretty good. You guys are, I love the fact that our listeners are really on top of things. I think that when you're here with us watching or listening while you're driving or on the subway or wherever you are, I think that most of the stuff, like when we give facts about the band or things, you guys already know that. I think that what you guys like doing is hanging out with us and listening to us talk. And then the live feed, you're talking right back with us, and I think that's pretty spectacular. And I really do appreciate it, where you guys are definitely part of the show, and I want to thank you guys for coming on Sundays and during football and hanging out with us and, you know, doing the show.
I thought Brad had an interesting point here, so let me read this since there's no score involved. So Brad says, actually, in 1976, they were still touring on Alive, as well, 35 shows, and then 57 shows for Destroyer, 70 shows for Rock and Roll Over in late 76, early 77, 32 for Love Gun, 56 shows for Alive 2 in late 77, early 78, which is 250 shows a year from 76 to 78 at 83 shows per year. That's actually not that many. And when you look at the number, I agree with you, Brad. But it's 83 shows per year, and they don't get a break from the paparazzi at all. This isn't 83 shows a year that ZZ Top is doing, and nobody cares what they're doing the 4 days they're off. These are four guys that got to hide from everybody permanently for 2.5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And in between all that stuff, recording all those records too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right. You know, a band like Def Leppard toured on Pyromania. They probably did 400 shows, right? So
right, yeah.
You think that the paparazzi were following ZZ Top around when they started growing their beards out?
No.
Hey, I got a picture. It's 6 inches now. Yeah. What the hell are they thinking? Slowly dropping down, like no, okay. I don't know. I'm gonna have to go and I'm all of a sudden gonna become a ZZ Top fan and go back and find all those magazines, the new look of ZZ Top in 16 magazine, like they had for Kiss for the Elder. And they're like sporting these like Santa Claus beards. No other band does that work for, does it? All right. So anyway, all right. Sonny, you have anything to add?
No, thanks for listening. Thanks for all the comments. And thanks for letting me know who's winning the game.
Oh, damn. I didn't see it.
Signing off.
Joey, you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'm sorry we're not gonna be able to come see you guys on Sundays anymore during football season, but no, always great talking to you guys. This is a fun topic today. This was a hard one just because, again, my just so you know, my original three choices were Kiss Alive, Destroyer, Love Gun. Those were my three first originals because I think those, you know, those early years between 74 and 78. That's what Kiss will always be remembered for. It doesn't matter anything else. I love the 80s just as much, but in the grand scheme of things, that's what people are going to remember. And the first three records, Alive sums it up perfectly, and then Destroyer and Love Gun.
Absolutely. You know what I'm going to say? We love podcasts, and I'm going to tell you, I've been looking at the comments even more now, and I have to tell you, if there's one thing that drives me crazy besides you driving us wild and driving us crazy, is the fact that how many times Brad Rustoven, that little Kiss butt, is always agreeing with Sonny Poony.
Ugh.
He never agrees with me. It doesn't happen that often, actually.
I'm just kidding. He's our friend. We love Brad. I still have right over there my little, remember he gave us some, when we went to Vegas,
the batteries.
Some special batteries for our phones so they wouldn't die. He was the bomb.
Whoa. What are we talking about here?
Well, you're late to the game, buddy.
Brad.
Hey, listen, and I can't think of it right now. What's the name of his show?
Wow. Brad, just so you know, if I got some great batteries from you, I would remember your show.
Damn it all to hell.
Wow.
Brad, post the name of your
Slam show. Fest. Slam
yeah,
Fest.
Yeah. He was only two tables over from me.
I was trying to get you to say it, and you weren't going to say it.
Nice cover, Poony. Nice cover.
Yes, anyway, we're live, everybody. We're live.
Yes, we are live. You know what I'm going to say? We love podcasts, and we love Kiss Podcasts. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Poony, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.